Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I begin my sermon this morning with a question that has plagued humanity since time immemorial. The incomparable poet, artist, and cultural philosopher Theodore Geisel, who is more commonly known by his pseudonym Dr. Seuss, posed the question this way. Big T, little t, what begins with T? And Dr. Seuss's answer was, 10 tired turtles on a tuttle tuttle tree. Every week, I read several passages from the Bible. These are the passages that are placed before me by the Revised Common Lectionary. The lectionary, in case you don't know, is the system that most Christian churches use to decide which scriptures will be read in church on that particular Sunday. The lectionary includes at least 5 different passages, one from the Hebrew Bible, known to the Christians as the Old Testament, at least one, sometimes 2 Psalms, a passage from the Epistles, and finally, a gospel lesson. And it is my job each week to read through these passages and decide which one I want to preach about. Most often I end up preaching about the gospel, and there are 2 reasons for this, an institutional reason and a personal reason. Since this is a Christian church, it is important and nourishing and empowering for us as an institution and a community to carefully consider Jesus Christ's example. And personally, I gravitate to the Gospels because they are narrative in nature. They tell the story of Jesus' life. And as you know, I am a person who thrives on story. One of the things that I love about our shared Christian faith is this tendency that our religion has to gravitate towards story. It's not only the Gospels themselves, the heart of our scriptural tradition, that are in narrative form. It's also that when Jesus himself tried to get important ideas across, he tended to use story, parable, as his preferred mode of instruction. And this is perfect for me, both as a minister and a person, because, as you know, weaving stories is just about my favorite thing to do. I love the way the act of telling a story is an act of discovery, not only for the hearer, but also for the teller. You may think you know the meaning of a story until you tell it, and then you find out it means something else entirely. Put the same story away for a few years, and when you pull it out again, it will contain within it an entirely new and altogether surprising truth. Story has a way of getting at a dynamic kind of truth, a truth that has the ability to change and be no less true. This kind of truth does not have a capital letter in front of it. It's little t, truth. But while the Gospels at their core are narratives of Christ's life, the Bible as a whole is not limited at all to the narrative form, because it's a rich literary tradition that was compiled over thousands of years. The Bible contains a vast array of different kinds of writing. And that's one reason why the lectionary is put together the way that it is. On any given Sunday, you might hear a narrative passage from the Gospel, a letter or an exhortation by the Apostle Paul to an early church, a hymn of praise from the Psalms, and a proverb or a lamentation or a prophetic diatribe or a recitation of laws from the Hebrew Bible. And when we come to church and hear passages from the Bible read and interpreted, we become part of this vast sweep of that tradition, applying our minds and the discernment of our hearts and spirits to the project of making sense of ideas that we, as mortal creatures, have been wrestling with for millennia. And I think that this is a profound and marvelous act. We are little, each of us, as we have our cups of coffee and drive down to the post office and take out the garbage. But here, in this place, we become part of something big, a tradition that has been told, talked about, questioned, and quarreled with by generation upon generation upon generation. But as marvelous as this is, this little big, it's not without its real danger. Because when you institutionalize a text, that is, when you build a building and a community around the idea that one book contains the truth, it is quite natural to begin to assume that everything in that book, in this case the Bible, is true because it can be found there. Dynamic little t truth becomes a more static big T truth. And this really makes me nervous. Big T truth is so sure of itself. Big T truth says, look at me. I'm the one. That doesn't sound religious to me. It doesn't sound like a religious truth. I think that little t truth is more like religious truth, because it contains within it the possibility of mystery. Little t truth hasn't quite made up its mind yet. Big T truth is unyielding. It's like concrete or asphalt. But have you ever noticed what happens to asphalt when the frost hits and starts to get cold? Time and the elements are unkind to Big T truth, because Big T truth has no humility to guide it. It is not religion, it's ideology. And all ideology, thankfully, passes and is gone like a summer afternoon rainstorm. Every time I look at a passage from Scripture, I find myself in this land of big T and little t. I struggle with every lectionary passage, because when I read them, I often find things that I believe to be true, but just as often I find things that I don't believe to be true. When this happens, I start to wonder if I'm a good Christian. Today's Hebrew Bible passage from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy is a good example. This passage concludes with the famous lines that are God's affirmation of life. Choose life, God says, so that you and your descendants may live. I can go along with that. But the famous choose life conclusion follows closely on the heels of a bunch of curses that God threatens to inflict on us if we don't obey. If your heart turns away and you do not hear but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare today that you shall perish. I don't like that. I don't believe in a God of if. Why would God act like that? Are we to think that God is kind of a bargainer of our souls? Does God put fine print in the contracts of our destinies? I want to believe, in the possibility of unconditional love, of a love that has no ifs. I'm devoted to a religion that gravitates towards love, not one that is built on threats. So my belief as a religious person goes directly against something that is stated in the book that I call holy. Does that make me a bad Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a person of faith? I don't think that we can be expected to swallow everything in the Bible without chewing it. Mohandas Gandhi, the great nonviolent revolutionary who led India's struggle of independence, had this to say: I do claim to know and feel the truths of the essential teachings of scriptures. I decline to be bound by any interpretation, however learned it may be, if it is repugnant to reason or moral sense. It's a mistake, I think, that to be a person of faith, one must be uncritical and accept everything that is in the Bible simply because it's in the Bible. The power to examine an idea against the strength of our minds and the vulnerabilities of our hearts is a power that is, after all, God-given. And we should not give it up lightly. And lest we think that a personage like Mahatma Gandhi is not impressive enough of an authority to pay attention to in this regard, it turns out that there's another rather impressive guy whose words and actions offer a precedent for this notion of challenging the big T truth of Scripture. Jesus. In today's reading from Matthew, Jesus goes on a lengthy diatribe that is built upon a repeated construction that begins, "You have heard it said that," and then shifts to, "But I say to you." Jesus Christ, whose name I just realized ends with a little T, was himself a person who reinterpreted Scripture in order to make it more dynamic, more little T truth for his time. So, in conclusion, let us return to and reinterpret the question that got us into this mess in the first place. Big T, little t, what ends with little t? Trout, test, trust, joust, jest, just, and oh yes, Jesus Christ. Amen.